Maurice Sendak was an American illustrator and writer of children's books, perhaps best known for his book Where the Wild Things Are. Sendak was much loved in Seattle for the fantastic sets and costumes he created for the Pacific Northwest Ballet's holiday production of the Nutcracker Suite. He did it first in 1983, and the same sets were used up until last year. Back in November of 1991, I spoke with Maurice Sendak, and he shared his tart opinions on a range of subjects. We started with Mickey Mouse. Maurice Sendak has a big Mickey Mouse collection.
He was perfectly wonderful. Actually, I was about to say he still is, but of course he isn't anymore. He's quite finished as far as I'm concerned. He had about 10 good years.
What happened to Mickey?
Sold out. Yeah, sold out.
Was he different before he sold out?
Sure. He had a long pointy nose. He was mischievous. He wasn't good. And then he turned into this fuddy-duddy, fatso, smooth, dumb, likable, middle American.
And not your kind of character.
Not my kind of guy, no.
Perhaps your hallmark is that your vision of children is not as fragile and innocent at all. Mm-hmm. What's led you to that?
Experience.
Your experience as a child or your experience watching children?
My experience as a child and my memory of that experience and observation of all children. My experience wasn't unusual. I had good parents, hardworking parents. I didn't suffer, except I did simply because I was a human animal. Mm-hmm. And childhood is such a very, very, very difficult time of life. It's great and it's wonderful and you have fun. I don't mean to sound like old man Moe's about it. I'm just adding to it. They're just all sides of it. And then generally speaking, in this country, we tend to paint a pretty pastel picture of it, which is totally untrue. You can have the pastel picture, but you got to have the other shaded pictures too to go with it. I mean, and those are the pictures I provide because I think children need to know that we are out there supporting them and that we are conscious of this dimmer side of their lives and we want to help them.
There's this sense of people always wanting to protect children from that darker side.
We all want to do that. We all do not want them to suffer, and we wish they didn't have to, and we wish they didn't have to know these things, but in point of fact, they already do. So we can't protect them. Mm-hmm. Children know by osmosis, practically, that somebody might die, or they will be left, or who will feed me, or where is daddy? There is no protecting them. So rather than pretend you can, be honest with them, love them more, take care of them better. There's all kinds of things to do except lie to them.
Well, some people have tried to protect children from you.
Oh, yes.
Librarians have drawn diapers on the character Mickey from In the Night Kitchen. Mm-hmm. Because you drew him with a penis on
it. Yeah, apparently they hadn't seen one before.
Does that happen less and less, though?
No.
It's still happening.
It's still happening. We are living in a culture which is, you know, thank you, has many problems like that. It was sort of comical back in the 70s. I think it's more serious now, the kind of censorship that's going on.
Well, does that happen a lot in school libraries? We read quite a bit about amazing lists of books that get banned from libraries. Do many of your books end up on those lists sometimes?
I just did a poster which was displayed in New York at the big American Booksellers Association meeting, and the meeting was purposely for anti-censorship. And the poster had a scene from In the Night Kitchen and Mickey naked reading a book in the milk bottle, and all over the buildings are plastered the names of the books that are censored. Not all of them, just a small handful, but you had Oliver Twist and you had Alice in Wonderland and you had Huckleberry Finn and you had Where the Wild Things Are and you had In the Night Kitchen and blah and blah and blah. And it goes on and it's quiet and insidious and a lot of people don't even know that this is happening.
But it is everywhere.
It is everywhere.
And it's interesting also that all of the books that end up on these banned lists are not necessarily from a single political perspective. Mm-hmm. Sometimes all different sorts of people want books banned for all different sorts of reasons.
All different sorts of reasons, exactly.
I mean, I sometimes we assume it's conservatives, but not always.
No. That's what makes it sadder and more complicated.
I read somewhere that you're able to do some of your work while you're watching videos at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, that's true. I can write only to perfect silence. I have to put earplugs in my head. Nobody must come near me, not even my dog. I need that kind of neurotic silence. when I'm drawing pictures that is totally the opposite. I want people talking. I want people in my studio. And often they're not there. So I have the television set going. And I can watch all the people I detest. I detest so many people on television. And it galvanizes me. And that fury keeps me going till 1 in the morning. That hatred and disgust for what I'm looking at. It's wonderful for the energy that gets into the drawing.
Do any of them end up in the drawings? I mean, is there a Geraldo here or there somewhere?
Oh, there are, but they don't look at all like that.
Yeah.
And in fact, he's a mild detestation compared to more serious ones.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What are the more serious ones?
Oh, political ones.
Yeah.
Well, those are the most serious ones, for sure. And also the kind of inane trivia that comes puking out of that set. And I watch it with a kind of fascination. I mean, Entertainment Tonight is totally fascinating in its own horrendous way. Horrendous Rivera, that's his name.
When you lecture sometimes, you've talked about the chaos of creativity, and you just kind of have described it for when you're doing your illustrations. I wonder why that difference between wanting that chaos when you're doing illustrations versus wanting complete silence when you're writing.
I think part of it is the discipline of writing is so hard. Where do you get the words? See, I see the pictures. My brain is like a Polaroid. I see the pictures. So I don't need silence. I just have to copy. I just sit there like a fax machine. I mean, the pictures come in my head and I just copy them out, which is why I'm less interested in illustration than I am in stage design or writing, because it's too easy for me. You can have all the noise going on in the world and I'll just still draw the bloody picture that I have to draw. But writing, where does it come from? Where does it come from? Where does it come from? It drives you crazy. It's so difficult. And so you need the silence to sit there and be disciplined and get through the next hour. It's completely different.
I'm speaking with Maurice Sendak, the illustrator and children's book writer, and he also has done the production design for The Nutcracker. It must have been quite something to do the first set designs, to go from that small scale of a picture on the page to something so large, people seeing it in a completely different fashion.
Yeah, you can make terrible mistakes. And I did. Some of them not so obvious, though. But I didn't when I did Nutcracker, because by then I'd done three major operas. I did make mistakes in Nutcracker. Everybody was very patient because I'll give you a for instance. When you're designing costumes for opera singers, well, you can pretty much imagine what they're going to look like, and they're going to just stay like that for 3 hours because they don't move, except for very rare occasions where you have a dramatic actor or actress on the opera stage, but on the whole, they don't. But dancers, of course, move. And so I designed costumes, some of them very pretty, but had they danced in them, they would have been smothered to death. As it was pointed out by Francia, Kent Stoll's wife, and one of the dancers, I had beautiful sleeves for the girls. But I forgot that they raised their arms, and the sleeves went right into their faces, and they were choking to death all over the place. So,
oops,
you live and learn. I didn't kill anyone.
Do you talk to kids much about your work?
No. No, it just confuses them.
For you to talk to them about
it? Of course. They don't know what you're talking about. Unless they want to talk about it, that's something else. And I can't tell you how many mothers shove their kids forward and say, honey, this is the man who wrote your favorite book. And the look of dismay. What does that mean? Is he going to take it away? And then they sort of hug the book tighter, like, why have I been standing online when I'm desperate to go to the bathroom for an hour to meet this elderly man sitting behind the table? They have no comprehension of what that means.
That someone created it or what it means that they created it.
No, they don't know what it means. The book, they love the book, but what has this guy got to do with the book? And then the mother urges them forward because she's embarrassed at how backward they are. Honey, you waited all day. This is the man who wrote The Wild Things. Give him your book. And you see the look on the face. No, I don't want to give him my book.
But you must talk to kids or like overhear kids in less formal situations than an autograph signing and just kind of hear them talk about
the
books
of
theirs that they've read.
I love that when you can overhear something. Oh, when they say, I was autographing books in San Francisco and there was a kid, bottom of the line, I don't know how he stood it, and he came, he was very grumpy, and he hurled the book on the table, you know, like, get it over with. And then I guess I had an expression on my face a little bit hurt or something because he came around. He's only like four. He came around the table, and as I was writing, he put his head in the crook of my arm, just rested his chin like he was tired, and he put his whole head there. And he said, are you Maurice? With a sort of cunning smile, because he knew I was. But you know what? He was making up for having hurled the book. A very delicate little thing. And I said, yeah. And he said, do you hate your name? And I said, I sure do. And he said, hey, Maurice, are you a tough guy? are you a tough guy, man? And it was wonderful conversation. It was just glorious. I didn't know where any of it was coming from in his head. Huh. And it was this kind of, oh, I can't describe it. It was just kind of easy entering into another person's psyche, the way children have a way of doing. Mm-hmm. There's no introductions. There's no formalities. You just dive in, and you make yourself at home in somebody else's head. And only kids do that. And most of us go through this rigmarole of introductions and twistings and turnings and gyrations and, you know, did he say that? Did he mean that? Did she say that? And all of that. Kids just don't.
Kids are easy that way.
Yeah.
Maurice Sendak, thanks very much for being with us today.